You're listening to the Save the Marriage podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
If you've ever dieted, or maybe know someone who has, you know that phenomenon called yo-yo dieting. That's where you lose weight. You follow a diet. You probably start eating better, or somebody follows a diet and starts eating better. And let me just say, I've done this in my own past where I've eaten better and I've done better and I've lost weight because that's what happens when you follow the plan. And then I stopped following the plan and the weight comes back on and all of that. Now, I finally figured out how to do it in my own life, and I know lots of other people who have figured out how to not just diet, but really change their life, to transform their life. And part of what I want to talk about today is this yo-yo phenomenon. I just wanted to anchor it to something that many of us have seen in the news, that the whole idea of the yo-yo diet. Because what I'm talking about is the yo-yo method, pretty much of anything. You might be aware of that from maybe your attempts. I remember years ago when I got sick, I realized just how out of shape I'd allowed myself to get. And so I decided I needed to change something. I decided I needed to get into shape. Now, at this point in my life, I am a better body composition than I was when I was probably 25, and I'm 50 pounds lighter than I was when I started the process, and I've maintained that within 2 pounds for several years now, for probably almost 8 years now. And part of the way I did that was I finally figured out that I had to actually transform my life, to change my life, not just kind of do the techniques and follow the plans and, you know, kind of make some changes here and there only to drift back. So what does this have to do with your marriage? What does it have to do with saving your marriage? Well, I happen to notice lots of people who do the yo-yo method of saving their marriage, or at least they are doing the yo-yo method in the hopes of saving their marriage. So let's go back to what research has shown about people who do the yo-yo dieting, where they lose the weight and gain it back. Research shows that people have a harder and harder time losing weight over time when they do the yo-yo dieting. The first few times that they diet, it's easy to lose the weight, and it comes back just as easily. And that's the thing about weight or getting out of shape. It happens a lot faster of getting out of shape and gaining weight than it does of losing weight and getting into shape. It's just kind of the nature of our bodies. But what they discovered is that over time, people who yo-yo dieted had a harder and harder time actually losing weight. They had a harder and harder time keeping the weight off over time. More than that, to the researcher's surprise, they determined that people who yo-yo dieted had more health problems than other people. More health problems than even the people who didn't diet. And that was what was shocking, because some researchers believed that at least at the period of time when people had lost weight, that they were probably, you know, better off, that their body had a chance to recover. And what was happening instead was they were teaching their body that things were going to go back to another way. And so the body was kind of in this constant place of stress and constant place where it couldn't adjust. So now let's go back to saving a marriage. Maybe you've discovered that your marriage is in trouble, and so you jump in to saving your marriage with everything you got. And boy, you're going at it. You're trying to convince your spouse. You're doing all of the begging and pleading that I suggest you not do. You're writing the letters and doing all of that stuff, just trying to find some traction. Somewhere along the way, that's unsustainable. And so it falls off. And then some time passes, and you realize that this wasn't maybe just a little threat. This is something bigger. Or maybe it happens like this. A spouse says, hey, I'm not happy. And so you say, oh, I'm going to change. I promise I'll change. Let me show you how I'll change. And you busy yourself with changing. And you're making lots of changes, and the relationship's kind of getting back into its groove. And because it's back in its groove, it gets comfortable and you stop. And things begin to dip again. And then suddenly a spouse says, you know what, I'm not happy again, and now I'm getting frustrated. And so you promise to change, and you jump in on that, and you make all of those changes, and everything's getting back on track, and then you fall off again. And the next time the spouse says, I'm not happy and I'm not going to try again. That's the nature of the yo-yo. Whether it's because you keep changing yourself and making some progress, or at least acting like you're changing and making some progress, only to stop the changed behavior, or maybe you jump in to actually save a marriage that's in trouble, only to fall off your plan, that to me is what I refer to as this yo-yo method. The yo-yo method is where it's start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. And what I also notice is it's improvement and decline, improvement and decline, improvement and decline. But if you look at the overall graph, you'll notice that the declines go further down and the improvements don't come up so high, and then the declines go even further down and the improvements are less and less. And finally, there comes a turning point when there's no turning back for the spouse, when it's more difficult, if not impossible, to get things to turn around. And you might be wondering, what happened to that? Well, looking back, one of the things that happened was that something was already brewing underneath the surface. Something was already amiss. So the first problem was that there was an underlying issue that maybe you didn't fully understand. The second thing that happened is that this whole starting and stopping begin to wear away at the relationship. It begins to lead to inconsistency. When you start and stop and start and stop and start and stop the process, it does a couple of things. First, it leads to confusion, and then it leads to frustration, and finally, it leads to resignation. The confusion comes because a spouse is seeing some things that are changing. You know, maybe you're communicating better. Maybe you've decided to take more responsibility for life. Maybe you're making some of those big changes that you should have been making all along, and your spouse is seeing it, and your spouse is pleased, and your spouse is feeling hopeful, and then you pull back. Maybe you think you've accomplished what you needed to, or maybe something else happened, but you pull back. And your spouse is left confused. Now, in your own mind, and this is what happens with all of us, we all tend to think forward while our spouse is looking backward. And that's true for all of us. We're looking forward and we're going, you know, I can make this change. And yeah, I know I'm not changing right now, but I will next week when I have a little more energy or time or resources. I will next month, or when I have a better job, I will next year. I'll make those changes. And so we're looking forward, but our spouse is looking back on actions. We always judge people by their past actions, but we want to be judged by our future potential. And so as we carry that into a relationship problem, that's where it begins to hit the drag point, because the spouse is going, wait, I see it. I finally see some places where you're changing and where our relationship has potential. And then it drops off and they go, oh, here we are again. Well, so that leads to some confusion along the way. And the confusion then leads to frustration, because our hope based in some changes is always a bit tenuous. And we get frustrated when the changes don't stay, right? And that's true for all of us. The frustrations that we experience, maybe you've been in another relationship, or maybe something at work or somewhere else where everybody promised that things would be different. And you got all excited and hopeful. And then when things began to change, you got confused. And then you got frustrated seeing that things were not moving in a positive direction. And now your spouse is feeling that same frustration. Your spouse is wondering whether there's any possibility for things to really turn around permanently, for real turn around, or whether it's just another phase. It's just another attempt. It's just another promise that doesn't get fulfilled. And so the frustration leads to resignation. Resignation is what happens when we've been frustrated long enough that we just throw up our hands and give up. That's resignation. And it comes often because of inconsistency. So what do we do as the reasons? Why does this happen? Well, the first reason I think that people do these things is because they're not feeling it. You don't feel it. And what I mean by that is, in the middle of a marriage crisis, you know, when a spouse is saying, hey, I don't feel all that great and I'm not sure I want to stay, you might not be feeling great either. You may not be feeling the love. I mean, this is one of the myths of a marriage crisis, is that one person is unhappy and the other person is just fine. Usually, both people are not real happy. It's just that one is more committed to working on the relationship than the other. And so part of what happens is, you know, you're putting forward some energy, you're trying, and you're not really feeling it yourself. You're not feeling the feelings you want to feel. Not only that, you're not feeling the feelings you want to feel from your spouse. Your spouse isn't giving you any positive feedback, so you're just not feeling it. And so what happens at some point is that you've been doing these actions because of fear, and the fear kind of subsides a little bit, and you just don't feel like it. Maybe you've had days where, and I certainly know I have, where you know you ought to be getting up and doing something, you just don't feel like it, you know, and so you let it pass. And this is the rookie mistake. This is when I've talked about this long in the past about going pro. The difference between an amateur and a pro is an amateur does it when they feel like it, a pro does it because it has to be done. Think about that at work. Think about that in your hobbies. You know, if you went to work and your boss said, hey, I need that report by this afternoon, it's not likely you're going to say, yeah, I'm not feeling it today. That's not going to happen. If you worked for yourself, or if you were just writing because you wanted to, you might take that exact attitude, I'm just not feeling like it today. When I'm writing books, some days I get up and say, you know what, I'm just not feeling it today. But here's the thing, because I know of that, I set up a plan. Every day from 6 to 7, not every single day, but most days from 6 to 7, I'm going to put myself down in front of that computer and write. Not because I feel like it, but because that's what gets me to where I want to be. So the first thing that happens is we don't feel it. The second thing is you don't know what to do. You just don't know how to move forward. You don't know what actions to take. This is the reason I created the Save the Marriage system, so you would know what to do. Part of what happens when we're trying to change things and we don't know the right thing to do is that we get kind of concerned when we take action. We second guess ourselves. We back away from the ideas that we have. The tendency is when you're not sure if you're doing the right thing to stop trying. See, it's not always a matter of doing the right thing and getting the right feedback. Sometimes you have to keep doing the same thing over and over. This is the magic of a diet or an exercise plan. Because even though you're not seeing the results day by day, you know you're doing the right thing because somebody else has figured out how to do it. That's the same with your plan to save your marriage. I figured out how this works and how to get it done, and that's why I created a Save the Marriage system, so that people would not have that second issue, so that you would know what to do. Which leads us to the third thing, which is don't remember. You don't remember to do it. Number three is maybe you had some ideas, maybe you learned what to do, and you just don't remember to keep doing it. It doesn't occur to you. You don't remember to use the techniques that you know, to use the methods to connect, to use those points along the way of changing yourself. You don't know, you don't remember to do it. It's not that you don't know, you just don't remember to do it. Which brings us to the ways we break out of this, how we make sure that we don't get into the yo-yo method, which is such a failure. The first thing is you need to have a plan. You need to have a plan that tells you what you're going to do and when you're going to do it. It's part of what I push in my VIP virtual coaching program is for people to have a plan. In fact, we help create that plan so that you have something to follow. Typically, we humans go back to what we've always known without a plan. That's just the nature of life. If you don't have an exercise plan, you're probably going to revert back to something else. And after you've done it long enough, your plan probably kind of gets, you know, implanted in you. But for the beginning points, when you're trying to change those habits, you've got to have a plan that you can follow, that you can look at, like written down, you can look at and follow the plan on a regular basis, which leads us to the second piece, the daily reminders. Saving your marriage is done daily, not once a week, not once a month, not, you know, 6 months from now, but daily. You're working on your plan daily. If you're not committed to daily effort, you're not truly committed. This is part of what I create in lots of different ways. For instance, I created the Thrive Journal. It's something I use with my coaching clients. The Thrive Journal is designed to give you a one-day plan, what you're doing that day, how you're setting up that day so that that day runs the way you need it to run. What I suggest is that you find something on a regular basis. Last night, I was talking to my wife, and I said, you know, I'm planning on doing this podcast on being careful about the yo-yo method, and I was thinking about what could people do on a daily basis. Now, let me just say, you can find lots of things to do, but it occurred to me that between my Thriveology podcast and this Save the Marriage podcast, that if you haven't listened to the other episodes, you could start today and listen for a full year to one episode a day, and in one episode a day, in 1 year, you still will not have listened to all of them. So let's say that you just need something to keep you going. You could get up each morning and listen to one of my podcasts or one of the other podcasts out there. I'm just saying, if you want to stay with this, you can listen to my podcast, one per day, and still be doing that in a year, still learning, still growing, still developing. That's the potential you have for doing that. We do this in our VIP program with a conference call that's once a week. And that once a week is the time to go, I'm back on track. You know, I'm going to check in and make sure I'm back on track. Those methods of making sure you're on track every single day are crucial to make sure you're moving forward, which means that you find some way to have daily reminders like the journaling, and then ways you plug into the material, you plug into the method. If you're using the Save the Marriage system, then having some method of going back to the material, make sure that you're continuing to stay with that. Make sure that you're continuing to move forward. If you're in the VIP program, and make sure that you're staying with that process, that you're continuing to move forward with that process, that you're listening to things that keep pushing you forward in the process. Which brings us also to accountability. Accountability is one of the most powerful things you can do to cement any change. I do this on a regular basis. I have people who ask me, did you do what you said you were going to do? A couple of weeks ago, I was at a conference, and at that conference, I committed to doing several things for my new book and several ways of making sure that I'm spreading that message of how to thrive in life. That's the Thrive Principle book. And one of the things I pushed was of my commitment. And I asked people to hold me accountable. And so now I'm getting emails from people saying, hey, did you do that? I'm getting phone calls from people saying, did you follow through? That's accountability, because it's embarrassing to say, no, I didn't. Now, some of the things that I said I would do, I didn't quite finish on time. There's still works in progress. But at least I can say, yes, I've done that. I'm halfway through that. I'm three quarters of the way through that. I'm going to finish. I just had to have a little more time. That's okay. Accountability is not to punish you. It's to keep you on track. So one way of doing accountability is to find somebody, find a friend who can support you in this process and ask you the question, did you do what you were going to do? Did you do what you said you were going to do? I do this with a Facebook group where they can ask each other the same things. Hey, did you check in with your spouse? Did you do that? It's a great way of making sure that you stay on track. Now, this is self-imposed. Accountability is always something that you create for yourself. Nobody has the power to make you do this. It's a choice you make, but accountability can help you because you're committing to working on that. The other piece you want to do is to frequently update and upgrade yourself. This is the real heart of the process. When you change your habits, you've really changed. When you're no longer having to think, did I send that one-way text? When it comes naturally to you, when you're really changing yourself, when you're growing, when you're connecting with your spouse, when you've created a new path and it is there, that's when you know that you have upgraded yourself, and then you're frequently updating yourself, finding the best ways, finding the best methods. The biggest thing that you can take from today's podcast is that the yo-yo method is very dangerous. There are lots of alternatives. Make sure that you find some ways of continuing to move forward with your efforts to save your marriage. If I can help, I would love to do that. I have the Save the Marriage system. The Save the Marriage system is designed to help you understand what went wrong in the marriage and how to rebuild. If you get the Save the Marriage system now, you get a free week of the VIP coaching I've talked about, and you get a free get started conversation with one of my coaches. Now, the price is free, but the value is not. So you want to take advantage of that, but you want to go ahead and grab that before all the slots fill up. If you have the system, If you have the system and you still aren't sure what to do, that's a good indication. Or maybe you have the system and you can't stay consistent. That's a great indication that it's time for some coaching. I have coaches who can work with you, or you can join us in the VIP virtual coaching program. You can contact me, lee@savethemarriage.com, and we can figure out how to get you into that. Otherwise, I wish you the best as you continue to work to save your marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at savethemarriage.com.